I don't know if you chose those songs because you looked in the bulletin and saw what the...
No, I forgot.
You didn't put it in. Okay, I didn't even look at the bulletin since I'm home.
I'm sorry.
So, no, that's wonderful. Those songs really go along with the message this evening. God, present, personal, precious. The first song said, every day the Lord Himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares He wants to bear to cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of His child and treasure, is a charge that on Himself He laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me He made. And that's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 33, 25, there at the top. Then the second song, for those tears I died, said you'd come, you said you'd come and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. Just like you promised, you came there to stay. I know you're here now and always will be. Those are the words that we were singing tonight. And it goes along so well with what I want to share this evening, what I felt like the Lord laid on my heart, this whole thing of God being present, personal, and precious. Now, how many of you at times feel like God is not there? Is there anybody that's never felt that way? So all of us, sometime or other, it feels like God is not there. Okay? So we want to talk about that this evening. How many of us have ever felt like God is out there somewhere, but it's hard for me to picture that He really cares about me? How many of you have ever felt that way? I think all of us have. Now, when God becomes personal and real, and we realize without a doubt that God is present, He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. When we know that, then God becomes precious to us. Let's just sing that. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same. Amen. He is here. And He's with us every day. Where's God in your life? What's He look like? Is he someone that is the great I am? He's real. He's personal. He's someone that you just long to be with. You know that He is in your life. And you know that He cares about you. And He is a treasure that you would not trade for anything. Is that where God is in your life today? I hope so. He wants to be. Is he real and personal? Is he someone that's distant? Or is he right there, up close? And do we recognize that from day to day? What value do you place on God? We know what value he places on us, but what value do we place on him? There's these three areas that I want us to think about this evening. First of all, God is present. Now, I want us to think about something. Just because it doesn't feel like God is here does not mean that he's not here. Right? How I feel about whether he's here or not here does not change reality. If I close my eyes and I say I feel like Mary Keeley is not here tonight, does that change anything? It might change something about me, but it doesn't change anything about Mary being here, does it? And so it's the same way with God. Is he here or is he not here? And in our daily lives, that same question comes up. Is God with me or is he not with me? And whether I feel like he's with me or not does not change the facts at all. If I believe that he is not with me, we'll see this, then I am believing a lie. And if I believe a lie, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me if I believe a lie? We'll be deceived. We'll live in a lie, won't we? We'll walk in a lie. And so if I believe the lie that God is not with me, I can walk all day in that lie and believe that God is not with me. It'll mess my day up bad. But it doesn't change the truth. If I take the truth and take it into my heart and live it, it changes everything, right? And so we want to look this evening at the truth, and then we want to take hold of it for ourselves. Now, secondly, first, just because it doesn't feel like God is here does not mean he's not here. Secondly, just because it doesn't feel like God cares about me does not mean he doesn't care about me, right? I mean, that plays out in life all the time. There can be someone that cares about me immensely, my parents or a brother or sister, whoever. And I can feel like they don't care. And then I live in a lie. I live under the direction of a lie. And as long as I live under a direction of a lie, I'm messed up. I miss out. So when I learn the truth, the fact that God does care about me, he cares for me more than I can imagine, that changes how I live. It totally changes how I live. So let's look at that this evening. First of all, there we go. God is present. Now let's just look at these scriptures. Go back into Genesis 39. This is Joseph. Let me ask you something. In Joseph's experience, this is when he is in prison. In Joseph's experience, did it feel like God was with him? He had gone from being his father's favorite son to being in prison with some steps in between, but that's where he was. Do you think it felt like God was with Joseph? No. If I'd have been there, I'd have said, it does not feel like God is here. Where is God? Is he present? But the scripture tells us God was with Joseph. Right? He was with Joseph. So, which is right? The way Joseph felt or the reality of God's presence? Which is truth? What God said is truth, right? God was with Joseph. And you notice a number of times in Joseph's life, and often, not always, it happened in the good times too, but often in the tough times that Joseph faced, you find this coming up. God was with Joseph. And the people saw that God was with Joseph. Maybe Joseph didn't see it, but the people around him saw. Potiphar saw it. The jailer saw it. A lot of people saw it, that God was with Joseph. All right? And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, this is talking about Moses. Moses was saying, God, it doesn't feel like you're with me. That's basically what he was saying. God says, Moses, I want you to go. Moses said, I can't do this. God says, certainly I will be with you. Certainly. Absolutely, Moses. I will be with you. You say, well, if God talked to me like that, I could believe it too. Well, just wait. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Now, where was David? We just talked about this the other Sunday. How long? 20 years. Almost 20 years. He's out there living in caves, running for his life, living like a madman, and God's with him? For real? Yeah. The Lord was with David. Okay? Now, here's a promise from Isaiah, chapter 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with you. I am with you. If God is with me, why should I fear? What's there to be afraid of? If I've got the biggest, strongest, toughest guys surrounding me wherever I go, am I going to be afraid? No. I'll go where I want to go, right? No need to fear. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. In other words, don't get all shook up about what's going on around you. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, if God is going to hold us up with the right hand of his righteousness, what's that going to mean for us? It means we are going to be held up, right? Are we going to fall? Are we going to lose out? No. If God is holding us with his right hand of righteousness, we're safe. We're protected. So we don't need to fear. We don't need to be dismayed. We don't need to be defeated, right? Haggai chapter 1, verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message to the people. You see what he says? The Lord's messenger spoke the Lord's message to the Lord's people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. I'm with you. Did it feel like he was with them? No. In almost all of these situations, if they looked at their circumstances, if they looked at what was happening in their life, it did not look like God was with them. Okay? Isaiah 43, 2 and 3. Look at this. When you pass through the waters, what does that sound like to you? Sounds like trouble. Sounds like a disaster, right? You're passing through the waters. I will be with you. And through the rivers. Now it's getting worse, right? You're passing through the waters, that's bad enough. Through the rivers, it's getting worse. They will not overflow thee. You're not going to drown. God's with you. When you walk through the fire, you're not going to be burned. God is with you. Now, they're in the water, they're in the river, they're in the fire. Does that sound like happy, happy? Everything's just great? No. Can you think of times in the Bible where these actually became reality? When they passed through the waters and the waters spread apart? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire and the fire didn't burn them, God was with them. They said, we don't know what our God's going to do, but we know who our God is. For I am the Lord your God. This isn't a promise that we're taking just because we like it and it sounds good, okay? It's not like I went and had Danny make up this thing that I could talk to you about tonight. This is God Almighty. I am the Lord your God. The I am. The self-existent one. The one who is all-powerful. The one who is almighty. The one who is all. And he says, I will be with you. Wherever. Whenever. However. I'll be with you. Okay? Acts 7, verse 9. This is talking, Stephen is talking about what happened. He's rehearsing history when he's there being called on the carpet. And he says, the patriarchs, that's talking about Jacob's sons, Joseph's brothers, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. So Stephen is testifying of the reality that he sees as he looks back over history, and he says, God was with Joseph. And Joseph testified to that himself. Now, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. In other words, we're not sitting here talking about all the things we wish we had. Okay? Why not? Be content with such things as ye have. Why? Because he has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Is that a promise or what? Is that a good promise or what? I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, if God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, what more do you need? What more do I need? What else is there? All right? So we've looked back across all these people's lives, and we say, well, that was great for them. But let's just look at the promise of Jesus before he left this earth. Matthew 28, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Who is that talking to? Who is that promise for? Us. All believers from the time that Jesus left this earth until the end of the age, until he returns. I am with you always. Say that with me. I am with you always. Say it again. I am with you always. What does that mean? Could Jesus have stated it any more clearly? What could he have added? What could he have emphasized? What more could he have stated there to get it so that we could understand it? I can't think of anything. Can you? Now, why do I struggle in my life with the question whether God is with me or not? He's promised. Is His promise true? Is it always true? Is it true all the time? Is it true everywhere? So if I'm standing here and I'm feeling well and God has blessed me, it's true. If I'm laying in a bed, if I'm laying on my deathbed, ill, it's still true, right? If I'm sailing through life and life is going well, it's true. But if I'm struggling through life and I'm barely making it and I don't know if I can put one foot in front of another, it is still true. Right? So what does that do for me? If my God, the Almighty God, Jehovah God, the I Am, the great and mighty God, the high and holy God, the one whose name is above every name, and the name that every knee is going to bow to and every tongue is going to confess to, if He is with me all the time, everywhere, in every situation, what does that mean for me? I think that deserves a shout praise to the Lord. Right? Let's say that together. God, You are present. Alright? Shout it out. God, You are present. And I just challenge you in those times when you struggle. Because I found this in my own life. When in those dark times when it feels like God is not there, get somewhere alone if you need to and just cry it out to God. God, I believe Your truth, Your promise. You are present, and I thank You for that. And see what happens. It's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. God is present. Secondly, I need a little help, Danny. God is personal. God is personal. Now, this is something that is so real and so important. If you look, you start to study, you can study any religion in the world, any, and none of them have a God that is personal. All the gods of the nations are idols. They are distant. They are uncaring. They are vindictive. They are angry. They are looking for and demanding from humanity something that humanity is not able to discern, that humanity is not able to provide. And you just start looking at that and you say, whoa, wait a minute. My God is a very personal God. He's right here and He's right here with me. And He's with me not because He's there as a policeman or as an army sergeant or as someone to demand and beat me into line. He's there with me because He cares about me. I am important to Him. I matter to Him. I am a treasure to Him. All right? God is very personal. Now, I want us to look at a number of scriptures here again. Isaiah 41:10, the same one we just looked at. Remember? Fear not, I am with you. That's the phrase we looked at the first time. I am with you. But now look at it this time. For I am your God. Very personal. I am your God. If I say, I am your brother, that's really personal, isn't it? It's something that draws us together. It tells you that I have an interest in you. And the reason that God is telling us that He is our God is not to scare us, it's to draw us close. Fear not, I'm your God. You matter to me. You're important to me. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I have chosen you. It's not that you've chosen me. I have chosen you. So God is, I am your God. All right? I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you. I'm your God. I care about you. I'm here for you. Now, don't get the impression that it's all about us. It's about Him. But He is for us. He's not against us. God is not against us. He's on our side. He loves us. He wants to be all to us. Exodus 20, verse 2. This is when God presents to Moses the Ten Commandments. He said, I am the Lord your God. You want to know how personal I am? I'm the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Okay? You know what picture that gives to me? Stand up, Tom. Give me your hand. Come with me. I'm the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. How personal, how much more personal can that get? Right? Thanks. You can sit down. I am the Lord your God. I've done this in your lives. You know what? God's done a lot for a lot of us that we haven't even recognized that He's done for us. We haven't thanked Him for it. We haven't even thought about it oftentimes. I think it's good for us to stop and think, what has the Lord done? He's taken me by the hand. He's led me through so many things. So many things. And I praise Him. I bless His name. He's such a personal God. He's there with us. I am the Lord your God. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. And we looked at this verse and in relation to how God joys over us with singing. But look at what he says. The Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. The Lord your God in the midst of you. He's right there. He's present. He's personal. He cares about you. Matthew 10, here's proof of how much He cares, of how valuable we are to Him. Matthew 10, 29 to 31. And I never thought about this. I never noticed this till just not long ago. I always knew that it talked about sparrows dying. But look at what he says here. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them, in other words, a half a penny's worth. How valuable is that? Not one of those sparrows falls to the ground without your Father. Think about that. So here's somebody in the market. They're selling two sparrows for a penny. And one of those sparrows is so far gone that when the guy hands it to the buyer, the one just falls to the ground. He's gone. Not one sparrow falls to the ground without your Father. See that? Not one sparrow falls to the ground without what? Your Father. How personal is that? Personal. Your Father. And what is he telling us? The very hairs of your head are all numbered. What does that tell you? What tells you that Dana has more hair than I have? But what does it tell you? It tells you that you are so important to God. He is so personal that He even knows how many hair you have on your head. You think God doesn't care about you? You think you don't matter to Him? Look at what He's saying. Fear not, therefore. Don't worry whether you matter to God. You are of much more value than many sparrows. Okay? One sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without your Father. Your Father. One sparrow. You are of much more value than many sparrows. Does that sound personal to you? Does that sound like a God that cares immensely about you, about me, about each one of us? Absolutely it does. John 10:13-15. Here's Jesus talking. It says the hireling flees because he's an hireling. He was just paid to watch the sheep. He's not laying down his life if a bear or a wolf comes along. He's not taking chances on losing an arm or a leg. He's gone. The sheep can be eaten. Not him, right? He's a hireling, so he flees. He doesn't care for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. As the Father knows me, so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Who are the sheep? Are you a sheep? Am I a sheep? Absolutely. We're God's sheep. Let us all listen. He lays down his life for the sheep. How much more personal could it be? What does that tell you? What is that saying to you? He cares. Absolutely. What else is it saying to you? We are of value to him. We are of more value to him than his own arms or legs or life, right? Okay? That's God telling us how valuable we are to him. What else does it tell you?
He would give everything to protect
me. Oh. So He's personal enough with you that He has got your back. He's got your front. He's above you. He's below you. And Scripture would teach all of this. You can find verses for every one of those. He's within you. He don't have just your back. He's got it all. He's protecting. He's caring. He cares enough to protect. And that is actually the ultimate care. When you think about it, a mother hen will gather her little ones under her and she'll perish in the fire to protect her little ones. She'll lay down her life. That's because she cares about her little ones, right? Just in nature. Not even with a spiritual aspect attached at all. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, if you then, you're evil, and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to those that ask Him? How many of you struggle at times with thinking that God does not want what's best for you? You feel sometimes like God wants to give you something that is not going to be good for you. You ever feel that way? I do. I think most all of us do at times. Look at what He says. So what does that tell us about that feeling? That tells us it's a lie, right? Did you ever stop to think how many of the things that we feel are lies from the pit of hell? And we live in them and we walk in them and they cause us to live in a way that does not bring glory to God. And it does not make His name great. We've got to live in the truth. God, our Father, only wants to give good gifts to His children. Now, does that mean He's given me a brand new car and a new house? No, no, no. He knows a lot more about good gifts than I do. But I can receive everything from His hand as a good gift. And I can say, like Job, that God is good all the time. He's good. He cares. He's a personal God. John 15:16. You haven't chosen me, but I have chosen you. And you and you and you and you and you and you and all of you. I have chosen you. Does that feel personal? Absolutely. He has chosen us. He's a personal God. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. Now, how much clearer could that be stated? He cares for you. God cares for me. Because of that, I'm able to cast all my cares on Him. Whatever those cares are, I can lay them on Him. Because He has said so clearly that He cares for me. God is personal. Let's shout that one out. God, You are personal, all right? God, You are personal. Praise the Lord. He is. He cares about me, about each one of us, all right? God is precious, okay? So if God is present and God is personal, That makes God precious to us. But He's precious whether we get there or not. Okay? Isaiah 28 verse 5. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty. What's that describing? What's that crown of glory and diadem of beauty? What is that?
A position.
Okay, it could be a position. What else could it be? We probably don't get the full meaning in our society. A crown of glory was something that was made of the absolute highest value materials. It was made out of gold. It was made out of jewels that could not be found in a common place. It was made out of all kinds of just special, special things. And the diadem of beauty would be, we could use the example of a diamond. A diadem of beauty would relate to a jewel. A diamond that was so many carats it had never been heard of before. Somebody found this enormous diamond, and now here this is, it's a diadem of beauty. And he says, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty. Now, which one is more valuable? The person that wears the crown or the crown? Which one's of more value? Okay. That's kind of a trick question. Because it depends where you're placing value, right? If you're placing it in a monetary way, it's the crown. Because the crown can get passed on to how many different people, right? But it's a picture for us of the preciousness of God. His value. And then Luke chapter 2, verse 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. That's a shining. That's a brightness. That has a value of its own. Luke 10, verse 27. He answered and said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. All. You shall love the Lord thy God with all. That tells how precious He is to me. Did you ever think about that? I show God how precious He is to me by what I won't let go of. But by what I claim for my own. He says, you love the Lord your God with all. Everything. When I love Him with all, then He's all precious, right? Anything less than that diminishes His value to me. I'm saying there's something that I am going to hold because it has value to me. And in holding that, I am not giving all, loving Him with all. That makes sense? You understanding what I'm saying? 1 Peter 1:19, with the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. How precious is the blood of Christ to you today? Without it, none of us have any hope. How precious is it? God needs to be precious. What He's provided needs to be precious. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. This is talking about Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. He is precious. It's talking about His value. Unto you therefore, 1 Peter 2, 7, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. Jesus Christ, God, revealed in the flesh, He is precious. How precious is God to you tonight? I think that it makes a big difference how present and how personal He is as to how precious He is to us. Right? So if we are convinced because of the truth of His Word that He is present and He is personal, then He becomes very, very, very precious to us. The more present, the more personal we lay hold on Him to be, not the more that He is, because He is, but the more that we take hold of that, the more precious He becomes to us. Okay? Let's shout that one out to Him. God, You are precious. God, You are precious. God is present. God is personal. God is precious. I believe that if we take those with us every day, I think it's a game changer. I think it's a real game changer. It has been in my own life. Just this week, one day, I was struggling. Lord, where did that sense of Your presence go? And I just went on my face before Him and I said, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You high and lifted up. I want to see Your glory filling the temple. And I want to cry out to You, God, holy, holy, holy. And as I did that, the burden was lifted. The joy returned. Because God is real. He's personal. He's present. He's precious. What a wonderful privilege we have to have a God who is all of that to all of us. One day I was there with the Lord and just in His presence and talking to Him and enjoying that, and it struck me. Here I am. I act like I'm alone with Him. But so are a million other people. Awesome. Just awesome. We all can be alone. Each of us can be alone with Him and enjoy His presence, enjoy His beauty. And so can everyone else. Let's stand together. Oh, no, you got the... Steve, you're going to take care of the offering. God bless you.